it's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation.
What are you people? On dope?
Or you can toke.
I inhale.
Or you can talk.
I experimented with marijuana and didn't inhale.
Or you can toke and talk.
10 federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
While we talk about toke on Toker Talk Radio.
So by the way, when it comes to pot, you know, if you're 40 years old, you live in a log cabin in Oregon, you got 12 giant pot plants in your backyard, have a ball.
Live from beautiful Portland, Oregon at Rolla J Studios.
Cannabis.
Plus your calls live at 971-533-7111.
They're walking on their pants with their cap on backwards, listening to the Enema Man and Snoopy Snoopy Poop Dog.
What's to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel?
Gateway theory doesn't work. It's a reality.
Holland, is it real? Don't tease me.
We're locking up people that take a couple of puffs of marijuana, and the next thing you know, they got 10 years.
And now, here's your host, the guru of ganja graphics, the sultan of sativa statistics, and the worst nightmare of a reefer mad prohibitionist. A polite, perspicacious, productive pothead with a propensity for PowerPoint. Radical Russ Belville.
All right, all right, all right. Welcome back, everybody. Time for Toker Talk Radio. Glad to have you here. Thanks for joining us. We got 3 days left in this miserable year of 2016. And we were lamenting some of the notable deaths of 2016 yesterday. And another death happened today. Although you may not know the man, you do know what he invented. The inventor of the red Solo cup died today. You know those red cups you get at the kegger? The guy who invented that died today. So thanks, 2016. You continue to suck. Also, you might want to check out weednews.co today because some great stories up there. There was a representative, Kelly Townsend is her name, and she's a state representative in Arizona. And a tweet of hers was forwarded to me, and it says, 2016, just know that even though everyone is blaming you, I thought you were brilliant. And I know the real reason that many of these people are dropping like flies is because they were druggies. We used to call them stoners or tweakers, not idols. So when people keep blaming you, just don't listen. And know that you are loved. That's Representative Kelly Townsend. She is the co-founder of the Greater Phoenix Area Tea Party. And her Twitter account is at KellyTownsend11. But she has a protected Twitter account, so you can't read her account unless you are a follower. I sent a follow request, but I doubt it will get picked up. But maybe you, dear listeners, can get through. So if you got a Twitter account, send a follow to at KellyTownsend11, and we'll see what we can find out. And besides just being offensive, it's inaccurate, right? It's like she's trying to imply that, oh, if you use drugs, it's going to kill you. When in fact, of the 17 people that I could pick out of this year's deaths who were drug users, who were acknowledged, known, partying drug users, out of 17 of them that I found, only four died from their drug use. Prince, overdose of fentanyl. Vanity, kidney failure because of her lifetime drug use. China, the wrestler, she died alcohol and painkiller overdose. And Shoddy Lowe, Atlanta rapper, died in a car crash, suspected alcohol and opiate use involved. Two-thirds of the people died later than their life expectancy. Robert Vaughn, age 83, Leonard Cohen, 82, Merle Haggard, 79, Paul Kantner, Jefferson Airplane, 74, Leon Russell, songwriter, 74, Dan Haggerty, Grizzly Adams, 73, Bernie Worrell, the keyboard player from P-Funk, 72, Keith Emerson, Emerson, Lake & Palmer, age 71, David Bowie, age 69, Patty Duke, age 69, Glenn Frey, age 67. All those people outlived their life expectancy. So Maybe drug use led to David Bowie's liver cancer. Maybe Dan Haggerty's spinal cancer came from his cocaine use. Maybe Leonard Cohen died from that fall because he drank so much. I don't know. Anyway, speaking of 2016, this is from Seattle Hemp Fest this year.
You'll never see me driving a van, I'll tell you that.
Legal to listen to all over the world. We're just not sure about France. CannabisRadio.com.
Everyone deserves the medicine they need. Aaron's premium CBD essentials and CBD nectar products are made from plant-based organic ingredients, grown and processed in the United States. Our unique formula of coconut oil and coconut water, infused with CBD oil, is ideal for all skin types and provides maximum relief. Aaron's Essentials was formulated by 9/11 first responder and stage 4 cancer survivor Aaron Sieber. As a cannabis connoisseur, Aaron began making and using his own lab-tested medicinal cannabis products to help relieve the side effects of his rigorous cancer treatments. Visit www.canisaurbrands.com for more information on Aaron's Essentials and learn how you can pay it forward. That's CannaisaurBrands.com.
Doc Rob, the concierge for better living.
My guests say Razzie Berry. We're talking about nature, naturopathic medicine, as well as the concept of prevention and preventing disease.
Empower people to live a naturopathic lifestyle. Get to know your body, understand its rhythms, remove toxins, and use natural alternatives whenever possible. 90 to 95% of cancers are due to environment and lifestyle risk factors. I mean, that's a huge number. That means that cancer is preventable.
The Concierge for Better Living with Doc Rob. Only on CannabisRadio.com.
Marijuana is not addictive, but listening to the Russ Belville Show is.
Hey everybody, it's Radical Russ here from 420 Radio, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation, only on CannabisRadio.com.
All right, welcome back, everybody. As we continue our look back at 2016, we're going to bring you my recording at the Global Cannabis March in Fort Worth. It was my I was in Texas 4 times this year, now that I think about it, and I love going there every time because those Red State activists there in the Lone Star State, they are really, really positive people and working really hard to get the word out and to educate the public. Before we go to that recording, though, I did want to make mention of another story that I've got up on weednews.co today, if you want to log on to that. And it's about a photograph I received through Twitter. Twitter user at MagDaddy, M-A-G-G Daddy, reposted a picture that was taken from a TGI Fridays chain restaurant location in Maryland. And the sign, it was just a piece of paper run through the printer, block letters, taped to the glass door at the Fridays that says TGI Fridays will not serve or seat guest with strong marijuana odor. Thank you, management. Yeah, will not seat guests with a strong marijuana odor. I'm guessing, though, that your Axe body spray, your perfume, the cigarette smoke that you've been smoking outside, your body odor, your terrible gas. Are those people going to get seats there at the TGI Fridays? It's not that I am unsympathetic to people who don't like the smell of pot. I understand that. In that sort of case, though, you could ask the patron to move somewhere. You could seat them somewhere they're farther away from people. And also, you don't have to single out marijuana odor. This sign could have said TGI Fridays will not serve or seat guests with strong odors. And not discriminate against marijuana consumers. And Maryland's a medical marijuana state. These people could be using their medicine, for God's sake.
Radical Russ here in Fort Worth, Texas, at the Global Cannabis March. We are at the Fort Worth Civic Plaza, and I'm making my way over to something that is very almost Portlandy, and that is we have a pack of Elvi. That is a group of Elvises. I don't know what the common demonym is for a pack of Elvises, but they're all on these little tiny mini bikes. Elvises!
Hey!
How y'all doing, Elvises? Hey. So, is there an official name for a group of Elvises? Is it a pack?
Elvi.
A murder of Elvi?
Gaggle.
A gaggle of Elvi? What's this all about? You just here for the march?
It's Saturday.
It's Saturday. It's Special Elvis Saturday. Right on.
Me too.
So these guys are all on these little mini bikes. What size bikes are these?
Z50.
Okay. Little tiny bikes. Oh, this is wonderful. I got to get a picture here with the Elvi. It take me? I particularly like Mohawk Elvis. I think there's something special about Mohawk Elvis here. That special punk cut flavor. The brownies are later. 420, man. 420. We're a rather predictable group. Oh, Jesus. Oh, that's great. Yeah, I completely agree. I'm sending it to my dad. He's a huge Elvis fan.
Yeah.
So many friends that I get to meet here in Texas that every time I come back, the Afro Redneck is here.
Yes, this is the Afro Redneck. We're trying to say agriculture can't save the South. It does disappoint me that Arkansas is about to be the first progressive, self-proclaimed southern state to have a intelligent marijuana policy. But the 13 southern states, Afro-rednecks carrying a cross. I look like Jesus Christ walking around a marijuana event. God, he gave me the plant.
Right on, right on.
But yo, my atheist friend.
God loves atheists too, I understand.
Stay black.
That's right, man.
That's all I'm asking. That's all I'm asking, man. Come on, man. Color folk, you know, you don't need an excuse to listen to jazz or mess with the brothers and the sisters. But America, we're very good mixing. But we're very happy Ted Cruz is out of it.
Yeah.
If you want to see the Republican Party be a reality TV show. And Bernie is not out of it yet. But Russ, I love you. You're my mentor.
Thank you, man.
Stay black.
I'll do my best. Thank you, brother. All right, let's see who else we can talk to here. Oh, this is a man dear to my heart. We got Thomas Barrington from Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo setting up. You got everything here.
Man, if they don't make it, I'll make it. And if they don't sell it, then I'll make it again. I got local glass blowers that glow for us, Jeff Zorn. We got all kinds of suppliers here for this event. And we're gonna eliminate Prohibition eventually. They're just going to have to give in to us.
Well, it's amazing. It's happening here on the Fort Worth Plaza. And my favorite thing that he's got sitting here is the Death Star grinders. They little carved Death Stars, man. They're the bomb.
So sick.
Little Death Star grinders. Bunch of great glass. So Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, more than just a tattoo now, giving all of your glass and accessories needs.
Smoking and tattoo needs.
Smoking and tattooing. And believe me, folks, they go well together. I'll tell you, there's something, you know, that little THC CBD, that helps a lot when the needle's hitting the skin, let me tell you.
It sure does.
Yes, it does.
It feels awesome.
All right, let's walk around here and see who else we can talk to. Guys from Texas Wellness Center are here. What's up, Texas Wellness Center? How you doing, man?
Good, how you doing?
Good. Tell folks your name and what this is all about.
So my name is Carlos Frias, and I'm the CEO of Texas Wellness, and we are a company that provides hemp CBD-rich products. So we, you know, provide CBD oil, CBD tinctures, CBD vape juices, and CBD is the compound naturally occurring in the cannabis plant that has most of the medical benefits, that's mostly recognized as having benefits. So we provide that in a safe legal alternative that's derived from hemp, because Texas doesn't have access to legal cannabis at this time.
Yeah,
even
Texas,
though we have legalized, Senate Bill 339 did pass last year, but the DPS is still figuring out, you know, how to issue licenses, and they're going through the they're selecting the vendor to create the platform for licensing and applications processing and whatnot. So, and we're also one of the companies that's applying for a cultivation license under Senate Bill 339. Our background is we were cultivators in California for over 10 years. So originally from Texas boys, and now we moved back to kind of, you know, be in the ground level of the scene. So
yeah, bring that wave from west to east.
Exactly, man. And it's an East Coast too. So, you know, New York has medical cannabis, Maryland has medical cannabis, Pennsylvania has medical cannabis, so we're behind, man.
Yeah. So this is what you've got right now is legal regardless of what the Texas law was.
Yeah.
And then when the Texas law changes, will that change your formulating?
So our business model is, at that point, we'll provide cannabis oil, CBD cannabis oil, for patients that are approved under the state program, and continue to provide hemp CBD products for people for general wellness reasons. So if you have chronic pain, you're not going to get approved under the state program. You can still buy our hemp version of our products. You know, and the ridiculous thing is that when we open our facility, we'll be cultivating these same plants that are considered to be hemp in the state of Colorado, will be grown in Texas as cannabis.
That's excellent news. All right, so people listening on the show, they're going to want to know how to get in touch with you guys or learn more. You got some websites or contact info?
Yeah, you guys can go to our website, www.txwellnesscenter.org. Visit our website. Our contact info is on there. And check out our products and give us a shout.
All right. Check it out here.
Hey, everybody. We're all going to get laid.
Oh, let's hope so.
All right, it's 20 after 420 here in the Pacific time zone, one of America's two legal time zones. We got to take a break, a mandated safety meeting. And remember, the first thing ever sold on the internet was a baggie of weed. 1971, ARPANET. Google it.
Being green is good. Growing green is good. Making green is great. CannabisRadio.com.
New beginner guitars and banjos are often constructed much better than ones built before your time. Why struggle? Get a new instrument or fix the old one. The trusted professionals at the Fingerboard Extension will evaluate your instrument for free. Repairs are priced for people who work for a living. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today, or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com.
Hello, Mr. Man.
Hi.
I'm working. I'm sorry. No food till this is done.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Ah, we'll miss you, Roscoe. Ah, another reason why 2016 sucked. But here's one why 2016 was actually pretty cool on the marijuana front. Jamaica has been making a lot of changes with decriminalization of medical and spiritual ganja use, and this April, I got to visit with three Jamaican activists at the United Nations. We discussed the progress the island nation is making toward legal marijuana. Enjoy. Good day, tokers and tokettes. Radical Russ here at the United Nations cafeteria, and sitting next to me, we have delegates. Oh, you're already plugged in. Delegates from the nation of Jamaica. And go ahead and just introduce yourselves to the audience.
Well, I'm Vicky Hansen. I'm from the Ganja Growers and Producers Association and part of the Students for Sensible Job Policy movement at the University of the West Indies, Mona.
Hi, I'm Kaden Francis, and I'm also a part of Students for Sensible Job Policy at the University of the West Indies, Mona.
Hi, and I'm Eleanor Mossey. I advise the government through the Cannabis Industry Advisory Board, which is connected to our Ministry of Industry.
In listening to the presentations today and the past couple of days at UNGAS, so many nations have stood up to approve of this outcome document, which basically maintains a lot of the status quo. Fortunately, the minister from Jamaica has been one of the strong voices standing up. In fact, the last session, when everyone else was talking about what they call NPS, new psychotropic substances or designer drugs, she's the one that stood up and said, we're actually concerned about an old substance, maybe one of the oldest. Give me your thoughts on what's been happening here at UNGAS and how Jamaica fits into this and would like to see some change.
Well, for us, we're concerned that the outcome document, as is now, doesn't take into account the cultures of indigenous people, which our new law, and I'm glad to say that we're leading the world in this approach, is to take account of the rights of our indigenous people to use the plants for their own benefit and to use it in a traditional way that we have always been using it for the healing of the nation, as would be said by our Rastafarian community. And it may be for the UN a drug, but for us, it is a culture, it is a way of life, it is how we live. You go into any household, you'll find a bottle with cannabis being soaked with other herbs, other natural things that it can be used for traditional medical purposes, which scientifically and traditionally has been proven to have benefits. So we are willing to stand up against something that we think we block the rights of our human beings, which is our members of our country, our citizens, and to call for a new approach, which is what our Minister of Foreign Affairs has been doing here at this conference.
That's wonderful.
And you know, what is something that the world really needs to know is that Jamaica is unified
on this position. It's bipartisan. Members of both political parties are supportive of our people and their traditions, which not only include the folk tradition that Vicky speaks of. And you know what is so funny is because everybody's grandmother has a bottle of alcohol with a ganja leaf in there for when you have a cold or when you're ill, or they'll boil some ganja tea for its medicinal benefits. And sometimes those persons who use it that way are quite against the smoking of ganja, but they are for the medicinal benefits, which have been recognized through generations. And our motto is out of many, one people, out of our many people and our many traditions. Jamaica has uniquely come out as a leader for the folk tradition of the medicine of cannabis. We call it ganja. We are unified in that. We are unified behind the Rastafarian faith. That's an indigenous religion to Jamaica, but one where there are proponents for Rastafari all over the world. And what our law that was brought in by our former Minister of Justice, Mark Golding, last year, did that is completely groundbreaking is that he conferred upon Rastafari the legal right to possess and use ganja for their sacramental faith purposes. Now, Rastafari is a recognized faith around the world, and the right to practice your religion is a universal human right. So therefore, all Rastas around the world need to know that Jamaica has stood behind them, given them this legal right, and maybe they can use this as a precedent in their own countries to affirm their own rights.
These international drug treaties have been around for over 50 years. Rastafari has been around for even longer than that. Is it the recent legalization in Uruguay and some U.S. states that have pushed the ball forward in Jamaica for these changes that you referred to?
No, because this is something that we have been doing from centuries. From the years, like in 1913, you know, citizens were being criminalized for it traditionally. However, what is different now is that we have recognized that the world, Uruguay, is calling for a change because of the issues they are having. The U.S., unfortunately, is now trying to make a dollar from it. And so, therefore, they have gone to the capitalist point of trying to get recreational for sale and all of that. So they have come on board our trade. The difference is the purpose and the reason behind their change and for our change. We're looking at changing the rules because it's beneficial to our people, the culture, the development. Argument about removal of poverty and equality. You can only do that in recognition of the rights of all people, and all people include indigenous, Rastafari, Maroons, indigenous people of every country. So it's good to know that the world is, for various reasons, looking at cannabis differently or ganja differently. But this is something that we have always been doing.
And to be honest, you know, ganja has been prohibited in Jamaica with our ganja law from 1930,
long before.
Before the U.S.
Years,
yeah.
Before the U.S. Yeah. Prohibited it. Because
colonialism and slavery.
It was a people's product. It made people enlightened, and this was recognized by the colonial rulers of the time to be a tool that did not help them. But it did help the people of Jamaica. And so we've been fighting this struggle for a longer time. And to be honest, our government has not always stood in line with the people, because Rastafari has been persecuted for many years and misunderstood. But we have righted that wrong now in government. And our government and our civil society and our bipartisanship is showing. Jamaica is a mature democracy. We are a small nation. We recognize that in certain arenas, we don't have the power to stand out. We seek alliances with like-minded countries. But even then, we are leaders. And our legislation has gone much further than most. We are not on the more extreme ends like Uruguay, which is a closed market, and the United States that have gone full adult use, which are going for the most liberal, laissez-faire type of market situation. Jamaica doesn't want that. Jamaica wants a regulated industry that protects our youth, that confirms the right upon Rasta. It's not as far as the Rastafari would go because, for example, our Deputy Solicitor General in the Attorney General's office, who is here presenting on behalf of the Jamaican delegation, did mention that, you know, as a religious sacrament, the Roman Catholics can sell their rosaries, but we, the Rastafarians who put ganja very high in their estimation cannot then sell it to fellow Rastafarians. So it's gone some way for them, and the fight is still on. But one thing is for sure, every Jamaican recognizes the benefits, and we are outstanding in the nations. And what we need are, you know, similar-minded allies so our strength can show on the, you know, the global front.
There are so many hypocrisies in this. I'm from the United States, Western United States, Oregon, where it is legal. And while I have the legal right as just a 21-year-old citizen to go buy cannabis, indigenous people still don't have a religious right to use it, even though indigenous peoples have a religious right to use peyote and ayahuasca. So the religious argument's been really confused in the United States. And you briefly mentioned the capitalism angle, and I wanted to get your take on this because we've seen among our community of cannabis users in America, a division between the activism and the commercialism, and some fear that the commercialism has overtaken some of the human rights considerations. More specifically, Brendan Kennedy and a group called Privateer Holdings is in with Rita Marley and the Marley family and distributing Marley Naturals, which are grown in Colorado and not helping a single ganja farmer in Jamaica. Give me your thoughts on capitalism happening in America and what needs to happen to, you know, help these ganja farmers.
Well, we're guarded against that. We don't want to stop persons from earning, as my colleague said before. So what we have asked and what we are doing on the ground is to have the ganja growers and association very cooperative, have a community-based approach to development of the industry, because there is a potential for a medicinal industry, there is a potential for a product industry, byproduct industry, and we're saying as part of that angle is to have persons included. We don't want a capitalism that will exclude our traditional farmers who have been the sacrificial lamb for this industry, who have been imprisoned by even the U.S. and deported to back and have their lives destroyed by even the U.S. So we're saying, if you're going to come, you have to come with some level of partnership and not slavery. We're not doing the sugar slavery thing again. We're not going to cede ganja to a colonial power who is coming in a different form. And that's a conversation that is happening. We're willing to partner, but if you're not coming with partnership, we're not willing to work. We're not going to be slave labor again.
We recognize the need for responsible capitalism. Jamaica is not ideological. We know it takes money to make the mayor run. Not only that, we have our hopes and dreams, and every farmer in Jamaica wants to elevate their children to a better life. As simple as farming in it's a very fulfilling task, and the people who do it are dedicated, and we seek to protect the small farmers and the grassroots farmers, because their ambition is to be the backbone of our economy and to elevate their families in such a way. For that reason, they need to sell their product. We are not closing off the market, but we don't want rampant capitalism at all costs. And we can look at the U.S. and take heed and take warning. We're not going that way. We're going to do this responsibly, and we all collectively in Jamaica, and especially those who have the influence and the power to make it happen right, we recognize our responsibility to our people, and that starts with our traditions, our culture, and the people who feed us, our farmers.
Thank you so much for an illuminating discussion on these issues. I got to visit Jamaica for the first time last year, and it was beautiful. I can't wait to go again. Have a great session here at the United Nations, and a good lunch.
Thank you.
My pleasure to be interviewing those activists. I had met them accidentally, actually. I'd just gone down to the cafeteria at the UN because it was one of the few places I could get electricity and Wi-Fi to upload my reports from the United Nations General Assembly. And I was sitting there and I could hear them talking at the table next to me with their lovely Jamaican accents, and decided to introduce myself. Met myself some friends. All right, stay tuned. When we come back, we'll have more of the best 2016 interviews with three sports figures, Jim McMahon, Cliff Robinson, and Marvin Washington, when we return.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com. The Russ Belville Show reminds you to never smoke and drive impaired. Hang out for a while and share.
The next generation of vaporizers has arrived. Vuber vaporizers are blazing the way with unparalleled technology for oil, concentrate, or dry flower pens. Providing unsurpassed customer service and expert craftsmanship, Vuber vaporizers use cutting-edge technology, providing a power-packed, smoother vapor with a lifetime guarantee. Experience vaporizing the way it was meant to be. The Vuber way.
I'm Radical Russ from the Russ Belville Show. Tennessee's Congressman Steve Cohen.
Well, you know, if marijuana is a gateway drug, then kissing is a gateway activity to sexual addiction.
U.S. Representative Jared Polis.
Yes, we really have a growing group of representatives that support decriminalization.
It's the Russ Belville Show, the NPR of POT, weekdays live at 6 Eastern, 3 Pacific, exclusively on CannabisRadio.com.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
They're bringing drugs, they're bringing crime, they're rapists, and some, I assume, are good people.
Okay, maybe you're high too.
When you are starting up a medical cannabis business, you want a fired-up lawyer who understands the needs of cannabis consumers. The Law Office of Lauren Vasquez is your fired-up lawyer for the cannabis industry. Visit her website, firedublawyer.com, or call 1-855-MMJ-LAWS for more information. That's 855-665-5297 for Lauren Vasquez, your fired-up lawyer, or email firedublawyer@gmail.com.
I have a package here for Radical Rick. Is there a Radical Rick here? How about a Rick Russ? Any Rick Russ? Somebody named Freddie Farrakh has sent him a package. Anybody? What is that? Sounds like a skunk. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation, only on CannabisRadio.com.
All right, welcome back, everybody. This year, 2016, may be remembered as being pretty awful in many ways, but when it comes to marijuana, it may have been one of the best years ever. Four states legalizing, four more passing medical marijuana, and 2016 was the year sports figures came out of the closet in support of the medical use of cannabis.
Jim McMahon, Russ Belville from Cannabis Radio. We talked a lot about the NFL and the brass, you know, not being so hip on this medical marijuana thing. You played for Coach Ditka. He's on this board for Gridiron Cannabis. How are the coaches and the team doctors reacting to this?
I think the coaches are, you know, a lot of the coaches are old school, so this is all new to them. I'm glad Ditka's involved. You know, he's been a leader in a lot of different ways, so have him on board is great. I think Kyle Turley has talked to him quite a bit about it. And, you know, he used to just yell at us, go, oh, you bunch of pot smokers. You know, that's why you need water, you know. But I think he's finally realizing it's not a drug. You know, it's a medicinal herb. Like I was talking about, I've been talking about it for months now. And how it gets lumped in with all those other drugs is ridiculous.
It was mentioned in the on the panel about parents becoming concerned about CTE and concussions.
Do you think medical cannabis can save the NFL, can save football from these fears?
Well, it's not going to stop CTE. I mean, if you got a problem like I have and you got that fluid floating around up there, it's going to eat away at the brain. So that's not going to stop it. I don't know whether or not cannabis, it's not going to reverse any effects because once the brain's eaten away, it's gone. So, but it definitely helps. It helps me because I'll get shooting pains. I'll go weeks at a time not getting out of bed, and that's when I know I got to go back to see the doc.
Does that impact your life in not being able to travel everywhere you'd like to travel because of the prohibition?
Well, that's definitely hurts. Yeah, but I've been fortunate enough. Well, when I've traveled, they found it twice in my golf bag. Forgot it was in there, but I showed them my medical card and said, "Look, this is." They said, "Well, it's not legal here," and I said, "Well, I'm leaving here, so should be fine."
Well, that's good news. I'm glad you didn't get into any legal trouble with that. Thank you for what you're doing and all the entertainment you brought us on Sundays. We really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thanks, Jim.
We are here at the Oregon Cannabis Caucus, National Cannabis Industry Association event, and Uncle Spliffy himself is here, Cliff Robinson. How you doing, Cliff?
I'm well. How are you?
Great. Glad to have you here. And I was just talking with Bernadette about the move to get professional athletes and people involved in athletics to understand the medical aspects of cannabis. Tell our listeners a little bit about what you're doing in that respect.
Well, we're really going to try to focus on the sports medicine side to really try to continue, getting the education out there, because I think that's going to be the most important part as we continue to move forward to knock down the negative around cannabis, is really support the findings that we come up with, and really try to really create those findings and be out in front of those of those things, and really try to validate what it is that we're talking about.
You know, we need to get this education out to the mainstream and to the management, the executives, the NBA, and these other sports leagues. The players themselves seem to get it, but do they get it from the perspective of, oh, weed's just not a big deal, or do they really understand the medical aspects?
Well, that's why we have to continue getting the information out there for them as well, because myself being new to the business, not new to cannabis, but new to the business side, now that all this information is out there, I'm a more educated cannabis consumer and user myself. So I think the more we can continue putting that information out there for them and putting products out there that they're able to test, I think that'll go a long way.
You know, as a former NBA player, I'm sure you've been hit up for lots of different business opportunities. A lot of people want to try to get your name and celebrity involved with something. As you get involved with this cannabis industry, what do you think of the people in the industry itself?
Well, I think it's wonderful because, like I said, all this information that has been, behind closed doors in a black market, so to speak, is now out there available to have a more educated cannabis user and consumer. I think it's wonderful. The wealth of knowledge that has been behind closed doors is now out there for everybody to kind of really take in. I'm learning stuff new every day. So I'm excited about being a part of the industry.
Now, I understand there's a special event going on tomorrow involving Blazers versus Nugs. How appropriate. Can you tell us about that?
Well, it's an event over at the Blazers game. Josh Kincaid from Super Chronics organized it. And, it's really to continue, doing positive things around cannabis as a whole. And, I'm really excited to be a part of it, especially there at the Motor Center. The Blazers, have opened up their doors to, being more educated as, a business as well. So I'm excited to be a part of it.
I finally get a chance to ask you a non-marijuana question. Hypothetically, NBA Finals, 95-96 Bulls against this year's Warriors. What do you think? How does it go? Jordan versus Curry.
I'm old school. I think the Warriors have had tremendous success. They're built for today's NBA. They do a great job at playing together, but I'm old school, so I would have to lean towards the Bulls.
I asked this of one person who said, depends on whether we're using the rules from the 90s or the rules from today.
Exactly, but if you use the rules for today, from today, imagine Michael Jordan in this kind of in this kind of system. He played great in a system where everybody's was hands-on. So
yeah.
Now if they couldn't touch him, imagine that.
Yeah, but on the other hand, Dennis Rodman would be a little limited.
He would be a little limited, but, you know, he's a Hall of Fame player. Scottie Pippen's a Hall of Fame player. Michael Jordan's arguably the greatest of all time.
And,
so.
And the Warriors coach.
And Steve Kerr was a part of that team, who was a great shooter. So, you know, it's fun to think about that kind of stuff, but, you know, each era is different, so you got to give them all their propers and their respects, and just, you know, I don't compare them.
Right on. Cliff Robinson, the Uncle Spliffy line. Give people any contact or internet information they need to look that stuff up.
We'll be launching our website here soon at Uncle Spliffy, UncleSpliffy.com. You can reach us on Twitter at Uncle Spliffy, Uncle Spliffy, Uncle Spliffy Inc., and also on Twitter, Uncle Spliffy Inc. But, you know, reach out. We'll put a lot of information out there, and we're, like I said, excited to be a part of the industry.
All right, Cliff, thanks so much for taking some time with us. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Russ. I appreciate it.
Welcome back, everybody. Radical Russ here at day two of the Southwest Cannabis Conference and Expo, and I'm sitting in the media room with former NFL player Marvin Washington. Hi, Marvin.
Hi.
Tell folks a little bit about your background, where you went to college, some of the teams you played for.
Well, I went to college in the Great Northwest. I went to University of Idaho, and then I was lucky enough to get drafted. I played 11 years in the NFL. I played 8 with the New York Jets, 2 with the San Francisco 49ers, and picked up a Super Bowl championship with the Denver Broncos in 1998.
When were you attending University of Idaho?
Late 80s.
Yeah, so. You are part of the reason my beloved Boise State Broncos got whooped 13 years in a row. You were part of that, huh?
You guys paid us back. Still paying us back now.
Sure did. Yeah, I was the Buster Bronco mascot my freshman year, and I remember being down there on the field. Just I think that first year was like a 60-something-13 blowout at Broncos Stadium. It was crazy.
You know, I'm really happy for Idaho football and the state of Idaho.
Yeah.
Big 12 as they expand this summer, and that's huge.
That really needs to happen for sure. Let's talk a little bit about why you're here, because I understand you've got a lot of big news with respect to athletes and medical cannabis and what you're working on. Tell our listeners about it.
Of course. We're going to be the first company that comes out with a product that qualifies under anti-doping policies of the World Anti-Doping Association. That's a cannabis product. It has no CBD, it has no THC in it, and there are 207 banned substances on the WADA list. We don't have any of those substances. So we can market this to all four major leagues. We can market to Major League Soccer, college players, high school players, of all sports. And so this is big, and we're going to have this in the major leagues next year.
That's excellent. The World Anti-Doping Authority, of course, covers the Olympic sports, the amateur athletics and such, and they recently raised their metabolite threshold from 15 nanograms to 150. And part of why they said that is we don't want to be catching guys that may have smoked a joint weeks ago. We're really concerned about in competition. How is that argument playing with the NFL and some of the NCAA and some of these leagues have a little harsher stance on this?
Well, I think they've you know, you see some of the major colleges and conferences that have gone more of treatment instead of suspension, and that's going to happen. And the NFL went from 15 nanograms to 35 nanograms, and, you know, they have a test once a year. And so it's not a drug test to me, it's an intelligence test. You know, it's coming. Also,
the thing about the NFL, they know you're dealing with 20-year-olds. Yeah. Coming out of college, so they know what percentage of their guys are smoking, but they're aware of Medical Marijuana Inc. They're aware of the subsidiary companies that are in there, and they're aware of the work that we're doing. I got involved because it deals specifically with CTE, and we have the patent that we got from the NIH that CBD has neuroprotectant acts as a neuroprotectant and antioxidant for the brain in relationship to the NFL's industrial disease, which is CTE.
Yeah, chronic traumatic encephalopathy, this disease, you can't even tell someone's got it until after they've died. They have to do an autopsy.
Exactly. And so we don't want to see any more players, you know, abusing their wives. We don't see any more players abusing the opiates and the pharmaceuticals. And we don't want to see any other player, God forbid, kill themselves.
This, of course, got a lot of play, a lot of attention due to Jovan Belcher, the suicide in Kansas City, Junior Seau, many players who have dealt.
Dave Dorson.
Yeah, yeah, that have dealt with these issues. And it's becoming more and more on the league's radar. Will Smith was just in a movie, Concussion, that talked about the doctor who discovered CTE. But yet Roger Goodell and the NFL commissioner continues to say, well, our people say and our people still need research. And if the research points us that way, what's it going to take to push them over the edge on this? That they're finally going to recognize the research that you and I and a lot of people at this conference are aware of.
Well, I think this is a movement. And as it goes along, the states, you know, more states legalize it or for medical use and recreation. I think as the country moves, the NFL is going to move. The biggest thing that I'm hoping for is it gets reclassified or decriminalized, and the NFL will have to deal with it. But for Roger Goodell to say we're following the science, they need to lead the science, you know, because if an entity like the NFL, that's the biggest sports league in the world, gets behind this, then, you know, they'll take a lot of other they'll take college with them, they take high school with them, and then they take the other sports leagues with them. They need to research this. They want to deny, and I understand that, or mitigate CTE, but they need to get behind this. They had a wonderful opportunity to do it independently and fund the NIH, but they had veto power, so they didn't do it with Dr. Bob Stern because he was a critic, and he's one of their objectives to the concussion lawsuit. Tell you about the concussion lawsuit that all players should be pissed off. How do you have a concussion lawsuit and you leave out CTE?
Yeah.
You write it totally out, and that's why the lawsuit came about. So the NFL, if they want to get serious about it, show us the money.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Now, the NFL and other sports leagues currently are testing and banning cannabis as a controlled substance, as an illegal drug, as something morally you shouldn't do or something that might be dangerous to you. As the world changes and people recognize this for its medical value, do you wonder, well, let's just look at it this way. The past three Super Bowls, the Denver Broncos and the Seattle Seahawks have been in two of them each and won one of them each. And those are the two places where it's legal. Do you think they might start trying to say cannabis is a performance enhancing drug?
No, they can't. They can't do that. And one of the things that I want people to do is, you know, get rid of ideology, get rid of the moral basis and whatever, and just follow the science. If you follow the science, you're going to come to a logical conclusion, but because it is there. It's helping kids that have these epileptic strokes and seizures, helping kids with autism. It's helping soldiers that's coming back with these with PTSD and these traumatic brain injuries. So let's study this deal. Let's reclassify, reschedule it, because there has been, the NIH has sent out over $500 million out of this country to other countries for them to study the science of marijuana, from Spain to Israel to all over. Let's keep that money here.
Yeah.
Let's make America great again.
You know, Trump was in this building just a couple days ago, right?
Yeah.
Okay, we're speaking with Marvin Washington, and do you have, you gave me a card, but I put it in my pocket here. What is the company you're working with?
HempMed Sports. It's a subsidiary of Medical Marijuana, Inc., and, you know, you can see all the companies that are underneath that umbrella. We're going to build our website for athletes, for all ages. And the thing is that I know about CBD, but I know the benefits of THC, too. Let me say that.
Yeah.
And if there's ever a league that needs to experiment or let their players use the cannabis plant for pain relief, it's the NFL.
Yeah. The first step in the concussion protocol should be taking the guy back to the locker room for a volcano vaporizer bag full of cannabinoids.
Of course. But not only that, you know, the biggest issue with the NFL is, like, I've seen guys leave the NFL addicted to pain pills.
Mm.
And I've never seen them addicted to leave the game addicted to marijuana.
That was a big issue with Brett Favre back in the day when
exactly.
he had his pain pill.
Exactly, and there's a bunch of, he's not the only one. And, you know, what I was telling my sister on the way over here is, like, you know what the most dangerous thing about marijuana is? It's being caught with it. that's it, especially in states like Texas. That's the most dangerous thing that is being caught with it. But they let their kids go out there with their undeveloped brain, put on a helmet, run into each other and take these hits, 600 hits. Average high school players take 620 hits a season at the impact of 30, 35 miles an hour.
Okay.
And you're letting them do this. But you don't want to fund or research the cannabis plant. So this country and the NFL has come a long way, you know, because who would have thought this 5 years ago?
Right.
But it has a long way to go.
Well, and even just 5 years ago, the only story you'd hear about this was Ricky Williams' story and him talking about his sabbatical and so forth.
Well, you know, Ricky Williams, let history be the judge of that. And I believe in 10, 15 years, he's going to be looked at as a pioneer and a trendsetter.
Yeah.
You know, everybody thinks, he gave up his career for marijuana or whatever. No, he was trying to help himself heal his body because he was taking hits, and that was one of the things that helped his body besides, you know, the Anderson, the Naperson, the Oxycontin, the Percocet. He did something that's natural, has no negative side effects, no addiction problems with it or what have you. He did it. I think he's going to be one of the leading, when you look back on it, you know, if there's ever a Mount Rushmore of cannabis and sports, he's going to be on there.
Yeah, and how much convincing is this going to take for other players? Are the players behind this, they get it? Or are there some that still hold on to reefer madness?
There are some.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I know how the NFL is, but it is a microcosm of society. So you do have your evangelicals, conservatives in there. But then what about the rest of the players? You know, I know how much players smoke, but right now players are educated. And so there are a lot of guys that are smoking for medicinal purposes instead of being on that pharmaceutical regimen that you start in freaking July. And you end in December. Mm. Supposedly, you end in December.
Yeah, unless you make it in the playoffs, right?
Yeah, you make it in the playoffs. But listen, you've been taking these things. They may be making you feel good. You're going to take them in March. You're going to take them in April. You're going to take them all the way through.
Yeah.
You know? And this is something that the NFL's biggest issue to me is the opiates, not marijuana. You know, they understand that. They know that. You're dealing with 20, 21, 22-year-old guys coming out of college. They know a certain percentage of them are smoking. Pass that one test, NFL doesn't have a problem with it.
Mm-hmm.
NFL wants to get serious. And if any major league sports wants to get serious about saying we don't want our guys to smoke marijuana, do random unannounced drug tests.
Yeah.
And take the hair follicles.
Right. That'd be tougher for you.
But you wouldn't see if you can feel the team that Sunday.
Yeah, yeah. I often make the joke that the NBA doesn't drug test its athletes in the offseason because they still want to field five guys for a team.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. You know, NFL, NHL, even Major League Baseball. You know, it's not that really a big deal with them. The biggest thing should be HGH and the performing enhancing drugs, not this benign plant to me. You know, this is something that is coming. And so these guys can take our product instead of taking something that's pharmaceutical based.
Yeah. Well said. Marvin Washington, thanks for sitting down with us. And give folks some contact information for the company and more information that they might need if they want to learn more about this.
Just go to HipMed Sports or Medical Marijuana, Inc., and you can look on the website. We also have a website called treatcte.org that is dealing with chronic traumatic encephalopathy. And then just holler at me on Twitter, mwash52.
Right on. I'll follow you right after the interview. Thanks so much.
All right, thank you.
And go big blue.
Go black and gold.
That's right. Marvin Washington, a great interview there. And Marvin's had a better 2016 bowl season than I have. That's for damn sure. Idaho won their bowl game, but Boise State suffered their worst bowl loss in history. Damn it. Only three more days for 2016. We'll be back tomorrow with our final show of the year. 2.5 days, I should say, at this point. Anyway, for everyone here at Delta 9 Studios and CannabisRadio.com, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us. Follow me on everything at Radical Russ or email me, RadicalRuss@gmail.com. If you'd like to donate to our show and our travel budget, you can send it via PayPal at russ@radicalrust.com. Thanks to those of you who've already sent some donations. See you tomorrow, and until next time, take care of each other, tokers!
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. Take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.